for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, December the 27th, 1984. Midwinter family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris is the speaker on this tape.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Jack Harris. Brother Jack has become more and more associated with us here at the campground and becoming more and more of a helper for me.
Praise the
Lord. I'm going to have to start laying a little more on him so he can be here oftener. But we appreciate him, and I appreciate his wisdom and the Spirit of the Lord that flows and moves through Brother Jack. And we thought maybe his wife would be with him, but she has to stay home and look after the stuff. So we appreciate Brother Jack coming, and I want him to give us a word.
Praise the Lord. Well, I certainly appreciate being here. It's always good to see you and Sister Miller, Brother Miller, and all the folks here that we know and those that we don't know. How many of you believe that God reigns? Well, the psalmist said it like this. He said, "The Lord God reigneth. He is clothed in majesty. He is clothed with strength, whereof he girdeth himself. The earth is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne, O Lord, is established of old. The floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods have lifted up their waves. But the Lord God on high is mightier than the voices of many waters." I'll tell you, he's mightier than public opinion. Hallelujah. Amen. He is mightier than the waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure, and holiness becometh thine house forever, O Lord. I'm glad that I believe. I believe that all things are about just about in place as far as he's concerned. If it seems kindly disoriented to us, I'm afraid that it's because we just don't quite understand. I believe that everything's right on schedule. And that, oh yes, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, that he might condemn sin in the flesh. I'll tell you, he didn't send him at the first alarm, but he sent him in the fullness of time. I think if ever God wanted to change his program, it was that day when Job, God's man, according to God's own word, he had testified of the integrity of Job and what an honorable man he was, and that he couldn't be bought or scared off, or there was no way to defray Job. And then the enemy came against him with God's permission and limitations, and Job was brought to a very low state. I think that day when Job dressed himself in sackcloth and lay in ashes and scratched his putrefied sores with broken pieces of pottery, and his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And he said, "You talk like one of the heathen over there." And he continued to scratch his putrefied sores with the broken pieces of pottery, and he cried out in his agony, "Oh, that there was a daysman that could touch me and touch God also." I think if God ever wanted to speed up the process, that he would have wanted to send that daysman that day. But he couldn't do it. Hallelujah, for in the foreknowledge and foreconsel of God, there was a time set. That the baby would cry in the manger in Bethlehem, and a daysman, hallelujah, would appear, one that could touch man and touch God. Hallelujah. The great intercessor, the great high priest, hallelujah, our great king of kings, king of all kings, and Lord of all lords. I'll tell you, I believe that God has everything well in hand. I believe the Bible is the truth, don't you? I think that if you think you've found a contradiction, it is because you're not letting the Bible interpret itself. Now, I believe that what we sometimes may find and think to be a contradiction will become a revelation to us as we seek the Lord. And instead of being contradiction, it'll all be revelation and confirmation. Oh, praise the wonderful Lord. He's great to be praised, isn't he? I just appreciate all of his people. Hallelujah. Wherever they are and whatever they're doing for the kingdom of God, I'm glad for it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the midst of all the turmoil and all of the disagreements and all of the doctrines, I'm glad that there are those that are still preaching. Hallelujah. Paul said, if they preach another Christ, another doctrine, another gospel, he said. I thought, well, Isaiah prophesied that his image was marred more than any other man's. Now, I guess I know that that had an initial reference, that he was referring to the agony at Calvary and so, but I think that it has more reference than that. I think that today his image is being marred more than any other. Hallelujah. He is being presented in so many ways that he does not even sanction. Hallelujah. That he does not embrace, that he does not endorse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, I'll tell you there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee mighty things that thou knowest not of. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied, and you know, people takes the part of a passage and runs with it. But I'll tell you, there's a lot more to it than that. Hallelujah. Amen. There, yes. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. They used to rise up and say, I'll tell you, that you just quoted part of it. Hallelujah. First you have to submit your ways to the Lord, then resist him. But I'll tell you, if you leave off that first part and you resist him, you know what'll happen? He'll eat you up. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you can stand in divine order, hallelujah, and resist him. You see, when I resist him, it is not Satan versus hers. No, hallelujah, amen. That would be no contest. But when I stand to resist him, the whole local church that I pastor stands with me. And if that's not enough, this local group here will stand up with us. And the one in the next town, and the next. Hallelujah. And when he finds himself pitted, what he thought was going to be him versus hers turns out to be versus the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And he don't know nothing to do but run. And hallelujah. And I don't blame him. Because I'll tell you, hallelujah, there's a lot of power bundled up in here, isn't it? Paul said, because you didn't discern it. Because you didn't discern everything that was in the body. Then many of you are sick, he said, and afflicted, and some have already died, he said, falling asleep. It's because you didn't discern the authority and the power, hallelujah, that has been invested in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I think that Isaiah seen this people that in this ministry that Brother Miller was talking about many years ago, and he launched into a prophetic projection and projected them in this order. He said, the wilderness and solitary places shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to them, and the excellency of Carmel and of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feeble knees, and say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. Our God will come and save us. Then shall the blind eyes be opened, and the deaf ears unstopped. The lame man shall leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break forth, and springs in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and an highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called a way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon.
They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sadness and sorrow shall flee away. Oh, and my ransomed spirit cries out a million hallelujahs. Praise the wonderful Lord. How great He is. Praise the Lord. Isn't it marvelous how God, just when He, in the beginning, He always tells us what He's going to do, and then sometimes we get in a hurry for Him to do it, and He doesn't get in a hurry. Hallelujah. Amen. I like the way that He paints a graphic picture of perhaps many times in His first introduction, and then He lets us, well, He lets His creation walk it out through the dispensations of time. If you're familiar with the dispensations of time, God's first definition for dispensation, and my definition for dispensation, is a period of time God has allotted in which He will dispense a portion of His life into humanity until we come to the sixth dispensation, which we're in now, and we're right on the threshold of the seventh dispensation, which is complete. And by the end of the kingdom age of 1,000 years, dispensation, give or take a few, God will have dispensed His nature, His life within us, and we will be conformed to the image of the blessed Christ, the Son of God, as Brother mentioned several times last night. Let me show you in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. And then I would like to go. What I propose to do in a few minutes this morning is to show you a ministry that God has already revealed to the world, a ministry that went forth one time, and then they came back and made their report to the Lord, and since that day, this ministry has never, it never has been reenacted. It's only been in the parts realm. But we are in the process of walking into this ministry that I'm talking to you about. This is sonship. This is kingdom. This is deliverance. Hallelujah. So I, like Brother said, they're the same. They're the same. We may not understand all aspects of it, but if you ever get to what I'm preaching about, hallelujah, amen, you'll sure need, it'll take deliverance to get us there. That's our problem now, is that we're bound by too many things. So let me read the 28th verse. God blessed them, that is, the man that He had made in His image, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, in the 26th verse, He had said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all of these things. And the 27th verse said, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. I do not hesitate to say that this is a picture of what God wants. And it is, here God has it in the beginning. He has in the very beginning what He wants in the end of this age that will get us into the millennial kingdom age, or whatever may be your terminology for that. Of course, I don't believe, and I'm not teaching for any means, that we'll reign with Him for 1,000 years. We'll reign with Him for thousands, thousands, and thousands of years. And of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Hallelujah. Somebody said, when will the end come? Well, it won't ever come. Hallelujah. I have read where the increase of His government and peace will know no end. That's the increase, not the finished product. Hallelujah. It just keeps on expanding and expanding and expanding, eons upon eons upon eons, and we will reign with Him. Hallelujah. Oh, if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, so what did God have here in the beginning? He had a man in His own image with dominion over all of His creation. Hallelujah. Oh, that's going to be something hard to, for the world can't deal with this. Hallelujah. A man in his own image with total dominion over everything in the upper, as far as he could explore, as deep as he could explore, and everything in the earth. Now I submit to you that God holds us out as a view. You know, you drive along the interstate and you see a sign the size of this board here, and it says future home of Texas Electronics or some, and it may be mountainous. It may have a lot of timber on it, a lot of big rocks. Doesn't look like anything. So you come by 6 months later, but an engineer, the engineers and the executives have projected, they've already laid this out on a desk, on a big table somewhere. And they have projected, they have laid out a scroll of beautiful buildings, a beautiful landscape, and everything to utilize, to be utilized to produce the product that they are interested in, and it's a beautiful layout. But at this moment, it doesn't resemble this at all. So you just keep passing by there, about come through a couple of times a year, so the next time you come through, the sign's still there, but now everything's all tore up. And while it looked rough in its natural terrain structure, it looks even worse now. And 6 months later, you come back through, and it's beginning to take just a little form. But you just keep coming up and down that road, and about the time you get to these executives and engineers' projected date, that thing will begin to take on a beautiful form. And one day you'll drive by there and see it in its completion. But getting there, it's looked mighty rough. And that's kind of the way that the move of God and God's progression is today. Now he plans to have a man in his own image in the end of the age that will have dominion. You follow me? A man, I'm not talking about one man here now. I'm talking about a corporate body of sons. And God sees it as one man. And he'll have a man in his own image. Oh, as many as he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Them he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For if he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again and is even now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our blessed Lord. I'll tell you, hallelujah, we are inseparable from his love. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. So, all right now, let's just consider this. Remember what we're driving at. God said, in the 28th verse, he has it. God blessed them, told them to be fruitful, and gave them dominion over everything, high, low, and on the level. I'll tell you, as brother said last night, the meek is going to inherit the earth. Hallelujah. Right here is what's going to happen. This is where the conquest is. Hallelujah. Amen. This is where the conflict is. And this will be where our victory is won. Oh, praise the Lord. I know there are millions of people, I reckon, around over the earth that is expecting to some magical moments going to take place. And they're going to be caught up to dangle their feet in the river of life for the next million years.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I'll tell you, if you will excuse some of my expressions, there's some people expecting to be caught up, that God's going to come and get them and catch them up. And if you want to know the truth about it, a buzzard wouldn't have them, some of them. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, there is no magical moment that is going to make a drastic change in you. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. There is not a magical moment. What I'm saying is one cannot live unconcerned about God with the hope of being caught away in a rapture. There is no change that dramatic going to take place that will change you from a carnal 30-fold, and I question the 30 there, old Christian, to 100-fold. Hallelujah. I've married over 300 couples. I don't know the exact count at this point, but I've married all kinds. The bride, you know, you focus on the bride. I've married fat brides, skinny brides, just right brides, short ones, and tall ones, and the hair color, every color. But, and while there has been a great variety here, there has been one common denominator. You know, the Bible says over in Revelation, and the bride made herself ready. Every time I never did, you know, when the bang-bang music plays a little high and here comes the bride, I never have. I stand here, they come from there. I never did look back there at that door and see one come through there with their hair up in curlers and a house coat tied real tight around the middle and her toes in the end of a pair of worn-out house shoes. Every one of them, the common denominator was that they had all made themselves ready. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, whatever your theory is, if you're going to go or stay, amen, you've got to be ready for each or either of them. And if you're ready to go, you'll be ready to stay. And if you're ready to stay, you'll be ready to go. So, hallelujah. Amen. But I've got all my bets hedged. Hallelujah. If you go, I'm going with you. But you be ready to stay. And if it is go, you'll go. Hallelujah. I believe that the Bible teaches, I really don't know how we ever get all of these concepts. I don't believe the Bible teaches that doctrine anywhere. I think that it's here. And that we're going to conquer the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Hallelujah. All right, now, God painted this picture, but from there on, everybody didn't just walk into this dominion. As a matter of fact, nobody has come to this dominion. God's still working on it. So we get over to the New Testament in St. Luke. And let's turn over there. And I point out to you, in the 11th chapter, 10th chapter it is, of St. Luke. And I want to show us here that, all right, now, here we come to this portion of the Scripture and to this part of time. God has dispensed already His innocence through a dispensation, His conscience through a dispensation, human government, and the law. Now, and then we come to the grace dispensation. All of these dispensations seem to have failed, but I declare unto you that none of them failed. Humanity failed. Oh, hallelujah. I concede that the law is righteous, Paul said. The law is good. It is, the trouble is me. And so I contend that none of them failed, that God did what in the foreknowledge of God He knew He would do in that dispensation. And He brought His people toward that glorious day when the manifestation of the sons of God will take place and will release the world from its bondage. Hallelujah. And to this point, We are doing this in part. It is the parts ministry. But Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, the part would be done away with. That is, it will be superseded. It will be swallowed up in that is whole. Now, we come to the 10th chapter of St. Luke, and what happens? He does the same thing here. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now he says, go your way. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. This is the first principle, that when this company went out, now, let me get ahead of myself and say that this company come back with a victory, and they exercised dominion that the apostles could not later exercise. They could exercise in part this ministry, but none of them walked this ministry out again like the 70 did, and I'm going to show you that. All right? The first principle is he sent them out as lambs among wolves. No, they no retaliation. The lamb could not retaliate against the wolves. He has no protection against them, except as is given to him from another source. He is the most helpless, one of the most helpless animals there is a lamb. He is not particularly swift of feet. He cannot maneuver like a rabbit, as good as a rabbit, and he doesn't have teeth for biting. He doesn't have the hind feet for kicking. He has no way to defend himself, in short. He has a spirit of no retaliation. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. It sounds like another, doesn't it? He does not retaliate. There was no guile in his mouth. Hallelujah. No, when he was reviled, he didn't rebuke. He reviled not again. I'll tell you, so they went forth as lambs among wolves. And the next characteristic is, he said, carry neither purse, verse 4, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. That is, don't put your trust in the monetary system. The second characteristic is, first characteristic, they have no retaliation. They don't have to get even, you know. We have to, hallelujah, getting even. And the next characteristic is that they don't have any faith in the monetary system. I'll tell you, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The monetary system is no security. And it is less security every day. You couldn't have enough money to absolutely declare that you are financially secure. But since I had $1 million, well, $1 million... you couldn't absolutely declare that you were financially secure. A couple of bad investments and you're down the drain. Or what about a plague of ill health in the hospitals and doctors? You can go through $1 million. They can go through $1 million for you right quick. You couldn't have enough to have security. Then where is my security? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, thou art my refuge and my fortress. My God, in thee will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, neither the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noontime. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge,
even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, and the young lion, the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him, and I will honor him, and I will set him up on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call unto me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him, and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation. Oh, that's where your security is. I'll tell you, you can't get an insurance policy that'll write all of those benefits in. Lloyd's of London can't do it. Hallelujah. Amen. It matters not how much you'd be able to pay.
I think perhaps I told some of you, some of you remember here a few years ago, 15, 20 years ago, when the Russians sort of gave the West a scare for the, nuclear attack might be imminent. So they thought, and everybody was building fallout shelters in the backyard. And a fellow came to me and said, let me build you a fallout shelter. Preacher, and I said, I got one. He said, well, he thought I had, a hole back there. So he said, well, yeah, you, our competitors build theirs with 3/8-inch steel, and then they, solid with a 4-inch vacuum. They fill that with insulation. And it's good, all right, but sometimes it'll, come a lot of rain, it may float out of the ground. But we build ours.
It's the best.
We build ours with concrete reinforced steel, and, of course, we waterproof it. And it's just as durable, and it won't float out of the ground.
Not likely to float out of the ground anyhow.
He said, tell me, what is yours built out of? And I said, feathers. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
He said, feathers? Is that very durable? I said, well, it's built by the oldest builder in the world. Well, what kind of guarantee does it? I said, he never has defaulted on one. Hallelujah. And another thing about mine, it won't float out of the ground. But mine's not like that anyhow. Mine's portable.
I may be down at the post office when they blow that siren.
I won't have time to scuttle that hole in the ground. Oh, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That's the walls around it. It's covered over with feathers, and underneath it are the everlasting arms. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm willing to take my chances with this shelter. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that if they were to start exploding those things today, and the Lord wanted me to survive, he wanted you to survive, he could give us whatever it takes to breathe it. Hallelujah. Yeah. I didn't say that he was going to do that. I said, if need be, he would. He can. Hallelujah. He could have had us breathing that stuff start with if he wanted to, and this we're breathing could have been the lethal. Hallelujah. Amen. He made us according to his own plan. He can do it because he is God. God does so much. Why does God do this? He does it because he's God. He does a lot of things for that reason, just because he's God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the reason. So, people say to me, Brother Jack, don't preach that predestinated. Preach him whosoever will. And they said, Brother Jack, he preaches. I came up through the old school all the way. I mean, the oldest school that you can imagine of religion. That's what I came up through. Came all the way, and they want Brother Jack to preach like you used to 25 years ago. What about you? Ain't that predestination, Brother Jack? I said, yeah. Well, what about them whosoever will? And I said, well, predestination is them whosoever will that be it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see. All right, let's look for another characteristic of this group. God's going to have a man at the end of this age, and I'm not going to be lengthy here. I realize there's another speaker coming. Just like he had in Genesis 1 and 28. A man in his own image with complete dominion. All right, now notice here. And whatsoever house, verse 5, ye enter first, say, peace be to this house. You enter a house and say, peace be to this house. Peace be to this campgrounds, this Bible camp. Hallelujah. And peace be to every house represented, every home represented. Well, I'll tell you, there's turmoil in every household almost, isn't there? But whenever you do that, you publish your message as a message of peace. We do not... hallelujah. You see, I do not require you to believe everything that I believe just the way that I believe it in order for us to have good fellowship. I don't require you to believe everything that I believe just the way I believe it if you will not require me to believe everything you believe just the way that you believe it. Hallelujah. If you want to differ with me, I give you the privilege of being wrong. And we can fellowship from there. The Lord didn't tell me to push. He said preach. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached throughout all nations as a witness unto me, and then the end will come. Somebody said, what end is that? It's the end of this age. Hallelujah. This gospel has to be preached to all nations. The gospel of the kingdom, he specifies what the gospel is. It is a gospel of the kingdom. I'll tell you, there has been some realm of the gospel has been preached to all nations. As far as I know, I have never been to a nation that missionaries hadn't been there. Now, I don't say that it's been preached to every individual, but it has gone into all known nations. But it is not the right gospel. Nobody is preaching the kingdom to all of these nations. This message has to be preached to all nations. And then the end will come. Somebody said that'd take hundreds of years yet. Maybe not. I'll tell you one thing. If any of the major forces and major powered nations were to go to war this morning, in less than 4 hours, there wouldn't be a nation in the world that wouldn't be alerted and know. The news would have already reached them. I said that only to say this, that when it becomes a necessity, a real necessity, and God's people realize that it is a real necessity to publish the gospel of the kingdom, the facilities are out there to do it with. Hallelujah. And if the urgency takes the priority of a major war, we could preach this gospel to all nations in the matter of a very short time. You see. All right? Then he says, when you go in there, and verse 6 said, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. So you can't lose. You're publishing peace. And when you pronounce peace on a house or on a person or persons, if they won't receive it, you still can't lose because it boomerangs back to you. And you've got more peace than you had when you left. You see? Well, I guess then what we ought to do is go out and look up somebody that we know won't accept it and just throw it at him anyhow and watch it boomerang. Hallelujah. Amen. Until the peace of God vibrates our entire being. Oh, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them that publisheth glad tidings, peace, hallelujah, and announce our God reigneth. All right, so... And he said, well, in the same house, remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. I was looking at this one time and thought, well, boy, this one I do. I eat, it says eat everything that they give you and such things as they set before you. I do that one, all right? Hallelujah. Amen. Whatsoever city you enter, first it's house. Notice the progression here. From house, and now they're going into a city. And whatsoever city you enter, and if the whole city doesn't receive you, I'll tell you, this thing is expanding. It is expanding. I won't have time to go through all these principles. Just let me get down to the goody here. Let's go to the 17th verse. And I'm going to give you this real quick, because I don't want to take up a lot of time here. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, this is a projection. My concept of this is that it is a projection. And He says, all right, now what he is saying here, if I am right, he is saying this is a ministry that will cast the devil out of his heavens. He is the prince of the powers of the air. You know that? The Bible so calls him that in the New Testament many times. Paul at least 5 times. Jesus at least 3 times calls him the prince of the powers of the air, or the equivalent thereof. Now he says, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. He's being cast down into the earth. But it has taken this ministry. Hallelujah. We are the object of his wrath. If you preach this deliverance message, the kingdom message, sonship, you are the object of his wrath. He is cast out because he knows that this is a ministry that is going to bind the strong man of the house. Hallelujah. Of his the prince of the powers of the air, and kick him out. Now, I declare unto you that this is a ministry that will bring about the manifestation of the sons of God and release the whole creation from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the blessed sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus is making a projection here. And then he says, when this happens, what happens to the sons of God? Amen. To the elect. If you like that, let me say elect. I think you like that term better, some of you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Jackson, we don't like the terminology, sons of God. And I said, well, you've got a problem. Hallelujah. But let me say in the mouth of the gun that your problem is not me. I'm not your problem. You've got a problem because Jesus talks about the sons of God. The Bible talks about sons of God. And if you don't like that expression, that terminology, well, you've really got a problem because you don't like Bible terminology. But I'm just as happy saying elect. Hallelujah. Amen. But it is a translation. And then what happened? When Satan is cast out of his domain, where he has been exercising his authority. Notice that when God raised up Jesus from the dead and he ascended back to his own right hand, where was it? Far above all powers and principalities. He went far beyond, far above the realm where the devil is the prince of the powers thereof. He went far above that. Now when he is cast out, all right, here's what happens. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. That's immunity. At this point, immunity is granted to the elect, to the overcomer. I like that overcomer, Brother Holthauser. The overcomer. I like that definition that you was given of the overcomer. You said an overcomer is one that come up over them things that used to come up over him. Hallelujah, or her. If I understood you right. Hallelujah. That's good, isn't it? That's an overcomer. I have to agree. That's an overcomer. Praise God. All right. Then he says at this point, when is he going to do this? When Satan falls out of his domain. Well, when's this going to happen? Well, in the 20th chapter of Revelation, verse 1, an angel comes down from heaven with a great chain and binds the old dragon, the devil, the serpent. And what does he do with him? Cast him into the lake of fire. It bounds him for 1,000 years. And during this 1,000 years, he gives, here it is, he gives immunity to the blessed elect, sons of God. Hallelujah. Well, what for? Somebody said the devil's already bound 1,000 years. Yeah, but I'll tell you, he's bound, but his influence is prominent in this old world. We're going to begin to eradicate his influence. Got to get him bound. Bind the strong man of the house, and we're going to plunder his goods. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to change all the television commercials. Oh, blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. We're going to change all the billboards. Oh, blessed be God forever. Hallelujah. And it will soon be obvious that another king reigns. Hallelujah. In the earth supreme. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. We will eradicate the influence of the devil. Men's lifespan will begin to increase until in the kingdom age a few hundred years a child will die at 100 years old. So Isaiah prophesied. I preached over 500 funerals. I do not recall. I stand to be corrected, but I do not think that I have ever preached anybody's funeral that was 100 years old. I preached from 99 and from 99 all the way back. But if I get as much as 88 or in that area, we always, you know, make some comment of their longevity. But in the kingdom age, don't let this wipe you out, but in the kingdom age, if I should be preaching a funeral, people are going to die in the kingdom age.
Right.
Hallelujah. We'll have to do something with them. Well, anyway, if I was preaching a funeral and this boy's only 100 years old, I'd say, what a shame. This boy cut off right now. What a blind here. Hallelujah. Amen. Dale, well, what's happening? Well, what's causing death anyhow? Well, we are eradicating sin. And the more of it we eradicate, the longer we're going to live. Hallelujah. And the highest enemy to be put under feet is death. And in order to put death under feet, you've got to eradicate sin. Hallelujah. You see, what is the trouble now? Well, you've heard the old story of one bad apple spoils the whole. Well, I got news for you. You can take that same basket and take that bad apple out, and then examine all of them under a microscope and see that they're all pure and fresh and good, and put them in that basket and go about your business and see what happens. You know what'll happen? They'll all deteriorate, won't they? Without that bad one to start with, they all deteriorated. You know why? Because death is working in them. Hallelujah. You know why we're deteriorating? Here, I've got to, 57? And you would have guessed me. You wouldn't have missed me 2 years. Why is that? Hallelujah. Death is working in us. Oh, hallelujah. But there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's making me free from this law of sin and death, which is in my, that law is in my members. Hallelujah. But for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Abraham believed God, and God imputed it to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Somebody said, boy, God imputed to Abraham righteousness. I want some imputed righteousness. I do too. But I'm looking forward to that great day when righteousness had to be imputed. That is, just without the real merit, it was given to his charge. It was just given to him. He imputed it to him. But we are becoming the righteousness of God in Christ. It is better to be the righteousness of God than to have imputed righteousness. My redeemed spirit cries out a million thank you, Lord, for the imputed righteousness. But my spirit and my soul leap forward. Hallelujah. Amen. At the thought of becoming that righteousness, that I no longer have to have imputed righteousness, but we become the righteousness of God in Christ. And then that ministry flows out from us. So he says, I'll give you power. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now he said, don't rejoice because spirit's subject to you, but rather because your names are written in heaven. All right, now here they came. Here's their ministry in the 17th verse. The 70 has returned. And they said, the devil's subject unto us through thy name. They went out completely helpless, nothing could withstand them. They didn't meet anything that could give them any opposition. They came back completely victorious. They went into houses, healed the sick. They cast out devils. Hallelujah. Amen. They did all of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and even the demon spirits were subject to them. Now, this is the ministry that I said. Now, here it is again. God draws the picture. He lays the sketch on the drawing board here. It says, I'm going to have a many-membered company of elect sons of God that will have this ministry. And then begins the long journey of walking it out in shoe leather. He painted it. He showed us what he's aiming at with the 70. Now he draws us back as he did to Abraham on that memorial night so long ago when he said, if you'll go with me, I'll show you what all I'm going to give you.
But all I'm going to make you great. Bless everybody that blesses you. I'll make you a blessing. And Abraham dared to follow God. I'll tell you, God painted him a graphic picture of all that he was going to do. But Abraham died never having actually received but just a token of it. Hallelujah. But all the heirs of Abraham are still receiving. Hallelujah. I'm talking about spiritual heirs now. Hallelujah. Amen. Of Abraham. If you be Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, if you be Christ, that is, if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs to that promise? Well, that we're still walking that one out. We're still walking this one out. All right, somebody said the Apostle Paul probably had the greatest ministry. All right? Let's see if he had this ministry. He didn't have the ministry of the 70, not to the fullness that they had it, because Paul, on many occasions, according to his own testimony, had to leave people sick. He entreated the Lord much in their behalf. He had some thorn in his flesh that he would like to have had removed, but it withstood him, and he could not have it removed. He finally was satisfied that it was God's will, but all men forsook him. Oh, such a beautiful ministry he had, to be sure, but it was not a ministry without trial and error or failure. This has been my ministry. Trial and error. Success and defeat. I'm in a parched realm. Hallelujah. It seemed perplexing to me a long time. I prayed, we came up through faith ministry, you know, faith and cleansing the sick and all, and seen many wonderful miracles. The thing that always got me until I came to a better understanding of the word, under adverse circumstances, God would miraculously perform a miracle, and then maybe just weeks later, under conditions almost identical, couldn't tell anything happened. Prayed just as hard, maybe believed, looked like I believed more, tried harder. Then one day, the Lord made me to know, and this is not a cop-out, you know, you can take the scriptures and sort of do a cop-out, but I'm not doing a cop-out. This is real, and I'll show it to you here. And let me just get over and show it to you now. I'll just close my part this morning here and appreciate the opportunity to do this. Praise the Lord. In the 31st, I would go 35th verse, 22nd chapter of St. Luke, and the 35th verse. See, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, he didn't walk in this ministry either. Either one of them did. They had to be two of the greatest, John, but none of them did. But it is left for us to walk out, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. I often make mention of coming up through the old school, and while I'm glad to have come through the old school, but I'll tell you what I'm really glad about coming through it. I'm glad that I came through it. Some of them haven't come through it. They're still schooling. Some of them have been in the third grade, so to speak, for 40 years. Hallelujah. But I came through the old school, and the old school's good for you if you come through it. If you just stay in it, you get dwarfed. You want to come through it. You wouldn't want to stay in a grade school forever or high school. You come through them, and it's good for you if you come through it. But you have to come through. I'm glad that I came through it. I think that it's been line upon line. I learned a lot from the old school. I learned a lot of disciplining, and we of course a lot of things I learned I had to unlearn. But generally speaking, it was better to come through the old school than to the other alternative that I would have had I not come through the old school. So I'm glad of it. I highly esteem those people. I think they're doing, you know, it's a work. Everybody, if everybody was 100-fold and everybody had one ministry, it wouldn't be, everybody couldn't get on, could they? Now, hear Jesus say in the 35th verse, 22nd chapter of Luke, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse, scrip, shoes, he's in reference to chapter 10 now, isn't he? He asked a question, lack you anything? And they said, nothing. Didn't like anything. All right, but he said, then what does he say? Then he said unto them, but now. All right, it's changed now. That but now changes the whole situation. He said, but now, I'm going to send you out again. Only this time, yeah, you better take a dollar or two, will you? Amen. And yeah, he said, but now, he that hath the purse, let him take it. The other time I didn't.
Oh, you remember that? You didn't like anything, did you?
No, we didn't like a thing. Boy, we liked that. Well, he said, now, it's going to be different. I'm going to bring you to what I bring you to, through resistance. Here the Lord just picked out 70 disciples that they followed the Lord a little ways, perhaps, but they didn't know. And he launched them into this ministry. That could not be. This could not be maintained. So now he has to build a people into this ministry. That's what God's doing. He's building a house. You know God's building a house? Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, there's a lot of vain labor in it. All right? He said, likewise, his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. There's a lot of things going to happen here, he says. Well, anyhow, he changes the ministry here. And now they began with this small group of men, faithful men and women. They began to walk out the ministry of the 70, and they have walked from that day to 1985, and we're still walking toward that ministry in pursuit of that ministry that will give us dominion, hallelujah, under the headship of Christ, amen, we're waiting that day when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. But this ministry has to go into effect to make that happen. I believe that we have almost walked it out. And that God is raising up people around over the country now that will walk in that ministry of complete dominion. And as we walk in that, others will be drawn to this ministry and to this kingdom until God has His man in the earth with full dominion and authority. Hallelujah. And the end of this age will phase into history, and a new age will be born, and that one is called the kingdom age. Hallelujah. And then for eons upon eons upon eons, age upon age upon age, hallelujah, we will reign with Him. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Men will learn war no more. They'll beat their war machinery into agricultural tools. It'll be interesting to see how many pruning forks a B-51 will make. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, victory is ours. Hallelujah. And we're the Lord's. Lord bless you real good.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.